Rightly dividing the word of truth. How do you rightly divide the word of truth? Well, you can do it many different ways. But you start out with the big stuff. You got the Old Testament, the New Testament, right? Which is law and grace. The Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The Old Covenant and the New Covenant. You've got different dispensations. The book of Ephesians says, in the dispensations of time, there's dispensations, which means ages. You got the Age of Innocence. There's like seven of them. I don't remember them all, but Age of Innocence, Age of Consciousness. Man becomes aware of his his state, I guess. The law, the letter, the law, the letter killeth, the law, the age of grace, which we're in now. Then you got the tribulation period. Then you got the millennium, 1,000 years, 7-year tribulation. Millennium, 1,000 years, new heaven and new earth, right? But the biggest thing is you got the age of law and the age of grace. God was calling out the Jewish people in the Old Testament for a people to himself. Now in the age of grace, God is calling the Gentiles, and you see in Romans 9, 10, 11, that God went to the Gentiles to make the Jews jealous because they rejected Jesus. So he went to the Gentiles. And so we're in the age of grace, and so the Gentiles are under grace, and that's why you have a lot of people who are saved, have a lot of gifts and a lot of knowledge, and it kind of mesmerizes, it makes the Jews jealous. A lot of those rabbis, they study the word. If you study the word and the words, and you break words into parts, look at the Greek and look at the etymology and all that, you'll see some deep truth. I had people get mad at me because I was studying the etymology. They got mad. And the reason they got mad is because if you take a word and take it to its root, you're going to see a lot of deep truth. A lot of deep truth. The age of law, the age of grace, the dispensation of law, the dispensation of grace. So what's happening in the age of grace? God is giving out the gospel through his saints, his body of Christ. So to rightly divide it, is take all the puzzle pieces and put them together in the right spot, you know. If you read Colossians and Ephesians, you'll see a pattern of sit, walk, and stand. Who you are in Christ, how to walk, and how to stand. You learn how to walk, and then you learn how to stand. Then the devil's going to attack you. Sit, walk, stand. What does that mean? Your identity, getting your identity in Christ, and then walking in your identity, and then standing. Because the devil's always trying to take away your stand. People say, how'd you make it through such and such? Calls Ephesians and Colossians. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Just keep doing what's right, and God will pull you through to the other side. And when you stand, the hive mind is coming after you. They get demon possessed. When you stand on the truth, the hive mind will take over people, and they actually become demon-possessed to attack you because they hate your stand. And actually, stand goes back to the patriarchy. To stand upright. The pa, made in God's image. Man is made in God's image. Who is God? God the Father. The pa, the pattern. When you see Jesus, you see God bodily. The image of the Godhead bodily. When you see Jesus, you see God in the bodily form. He told his disciples, they said, show us the Father. He said, I've been here with you the whole time. What are you talking about? I'm right here. They couldn't grasp that concept, right? You know what blows my mind is I still don't know why this hasn't spread across the whole world. I guess because it's so obvious that so many people would probably get saved. Every person is per the Son. Every person is through the Son. Jesus, the firstborn among many brethren. Every person, when you look at another person, you're looking at a different version of yourself. It doesn't matter if they're in the flesh or the spirit. They were made in God's image, but they choose to walk in the flesh instead of the spirit. So you're still looking at a different version of yourself who chose a different path. Everybody has their own path down here, but they all lead back to the same source. Love and truth in the inward man. And then it plays out. Once the love and truth is in the inward man, it'll play out in 3D, right? It'll play out in 3D. I've seen some serious battles lately. I mean, serious, not just one. I've seen like multiple battles. And I'm trying to figure out, why is it happening? And I think it's happening because I'm showing people that they're running on programs. You know, I had AI. I Googled AI and I said, AI, tell me the biggest problems that people are having, like fears or insecurities or whatever, that like a trigger point. I'm driving, so I had to put this on pause in a second. So I was pretty much asking the AI, what are the trigger points of most people, the fear and the worry and all that stuff. And it gave me an answer, but I haven't really studied it yet to memorize it, but maybe I'll pull over and read it while I'm doing this recording. I'm about to put this on pause. I'll put this on pause, you know. And before I do it, I'm seeing fractals from the past. It's like, and I'm talking about stuff 20 years ago, and I'm sitting here thinking, why would that happen? Why would something 20 years ago, which is totally ridiculous, try to show back up now? And I'm like, what is going on here? And I think I know, but I don't really want to say yet, because it looks like to me that there was a scheme in place, and they try a different scheme every year. And so since the schemes didn't work, they try new ones, right? But they're really the same. They think they're new, but they're really the same. You can actually see through it. And I've seen it in such a weird way that it's hard to even fathom. It's hard to believe that the devil has no new game. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is, when you learn how psychopaths talk and sociopaths and narcissists, you see them a mile away. And it's like, they'll even use the same words. And it blows your mind. And those same words take you back in time and remind you of something or somebody or some situation. And you're like, blown away. That was so long ago. And so then I think what's happening is I'm starting to talk about programs. There's culture programs, bloodline programs. And so those comments tell you there's a program. because you heard it in somebody else. And so if somebody else is saying it's a program, and it's like, when I started talking about these programs that people are running on, that's when the propeller started showing up in my world. It's been going on for a month or two. I lost track of time. But I think it's been 2 months, to be honest with you. But you start talking about boot camp, then you talk about a program, the mind viruses, or just programs, and the trigger points, and people not growing, and you go back a year later, 2 years later, 3 years, and they still haven't grown. And you're like, it's worse. I thought you were gaining ground. It's worse. You're worse than you were before. And it's like, come on. What happened? I thought it was getting better. I thought things were getting better. I thought everything was chill. And it gets worse. And worse. And worse. And worse. And worse. And worse. And worse. Kind of blows your mind. It kind of blows your mind. And the weird thing is, these new creatures that show up on the scene, or it might be somebody else, somebody that was in the past shows up on the scene, and they play the same game. You've already seen it. You've already heard it. You've already seen it 1,000 times. And it's like, how's that even possible? How can they not realize that they are just saying the same stuff? I don't get it. There's no growth. The ones who grow are the born again. The ones who don't grow are the unsaved. It's a fact. It's a fact. I've watched it my whole life. I've watched it my whole life. And this thing about trying to project on the, and this is a big one too. Somebody or a bunch of people or a group of people, it's usually a group of people working together, whether they know it or not, trying to project some identity on you that's not even real. It's not real. Have you ever seen that on a job, or have you ever seen it in a online? Or, I mean, they're trying to project an identity on you that's not even real. It blows your mind. So it has to be spiritual. It has to be spiritual because it has to be a hive, because these are different people, different situations, different jobs. Different scenarios, different renters. You learn to approach people in a different way, a certain way. Right? You learn to approach people in a different way over the years, to use like soft gloves. Kid gloves, you know? You try to use kid gloves on people. Because people can't take the truth. And the softer you, even when you try and do it soft, they can't handle the truth. They can't handle the truth.
while. And once you play the game enough cycles, you see the game enough cycles, and somebody shows up trying to play the game, but you've seen it 1,000 cycles, you're like, seen this before. Bought this t-shirt a long time ago. Seen this, heard this, played this game, bought this t-shirt. Somebody said about a month ago or 2 months ago, she said it's like there's that game where it's called whack-a-mole. The mole sticks his head up, you take and whack it, and it goes down. Another one sticks their head up, you whack it. Another one sticks their head up, you whack it. And it's like, even though they're different, the mole or whatever they call, what's underground, whatever it's called, whack-a-mole, is that what it's called, the game? And so that sticks his head up out of the ground, you knock it down. Sticks his head up, you knock it down. Sticks his head up, you knock it down. Sticks his head up, you knock it down. And it's like, come on. They're different ones, but they're the same. It's the same. They're different, but the same.
In Bizarro Land. Different, but the same. It's weird to enter into that, not that knowledge where it's a different scenario, but it's still the same. It's a different ship, city, place, person, thing, but it's the same. It's different, but the same. Wild stuff. Let me read this. Program. I asked. Common psychological programs. What are the most common programs running in a person's mind, like fears or insecurities or stuff like that, psychologically? The most common programs or psychological patterns running in a person's mind often revolve around basic survival instincts, social conditioning, and personal experiences. These patterns are frequently tied to fears, insecurities, automatic reactions shaped by past events. Here are some of the most prevalent ones. Fear-based programs, number one, fear of rejection. A deep-rooted need for belonging makes people fear being excluded or judged by others. Fear of failure, stemming from from societal expectations or past experiences. This fear can paralyze and decision-making. Fear of uncertainty. The unknown triggers anxiety because the mind prefers predictability. Fear of abandonment, often tied to attachment styles. It reflects anxiety about losing relationships or being alone. Number two, insecurity-based. Imposter syndrome. Feeling inadequate or unworthy despite evident success. Body image issues. Perception about physical appearance influenced by media or society standards. Comparison and envy. Constantly measuring oneself against others, leading to dissatisfaction. Negative self-talk. Automatic critical inner dialogue that undermines confidence and fosters doubt. Examples: I'm not good enough, I always mess up, or people don't like me. Scarcity mentality, the belief that resources, love, money, success are limited, leading to competitiveness or fear of missing out. FOMO. Victim mentality, powerless or blaming external factors for personal struggles, often to avoid accountability or facing difficult truths. Let me say that again. Victim mentality. Feeling powerless or blaming external factors for personal struggles, often to avoid accountability or facing difficult truths. Need for control. A program focused on controlling outcomes, people or situations to reduce anxiety or feel secure. Number 7, overthinking and rumination, replaying past events or imagining future scenarios excessively, which amplifies anxiety or regret. Perfectionism, the belief that anything less than perfect is unacceptable, often linked to fear of criticism or failure. People-pleasing, prioritizing others' need over one's own to gain approval to avoid conflict, often driven by self-worth issues. Number 10, defensiveness, reacting to perceived criticism by justifying actions which stems from insecurity or fear of being wrong. Most of these patterns are tied to the brain's survival mechanism, fight or flight, early childhood experiences, and social condition. Over time, they solidify into automatic responses but can be rewired with self-awareness, mindfulness, and intentional practices. Rewired. So if let's see what it says. Rewiring your brain involves creating new neural pathways through consistent and intentional practice. This process, known as neuroplasticity, allows the brain to adapt and change based on your experiences, thoughts, and actions. Here's a guide to help you rewire your brain. Increase self-awareness. Practice mindfulness. Observe your thoughts and feelings without judgment. This helps identify negative patterns. Journal your thoughts. Write down recurring fears, insecurities, limiting beliefs. Awareness is the first step to change. Replace negative patterns. Cognitive behavioral technique. Identify negative beliefs. Change them with evidence. I've succeeded before, example. Replace them with empowering statements. I am capable. Affirmations. Repeat positive statements that align with your goals. I am confident and resilient. You know, a lot of these you need to say you're trusting God, you know. This is just AI, you know. Daily gratitude. Visualize success. Create new habits. Start small. Focus on one change at a time. Exercising daily, meditating, eating healthier, consistent repetition, strength, new neural pathways. Use the habit loop. Trigger routine reward. Embrace discomfort. Step out of your comfort zone regularly to build resilience. Speak up in situations where you usually remain silent. Try a new skill or hobby. Cultivate positive input. Surround yourself with supportive people who encourage growth. Limit exposure to negative, toxic relationships, negative media. Practice meditation. Meditate enhances focus, helps reshape thought patterns. Focused attention. Concentrate on your breath or a mantra. Loving kindness. Meditation. Cultivate compassion for yourself and others. Learn something new. Learning stimulates brain growth and adaptability. Play a musical instrument. Learn a new language. Reframe failure. See mistakes as opportunities of growth rather than setbacks. Ask yourself, what can I learn from this experience? Be patient and persistent. Change takes time. Celebrate small victories. Remember, consistent effort is the key to rewiring your brain. Consistent effort. By intentionally practicing these strategies, you can break old patterns, create healthier thought processes, align your actions with your goals. So, long story short, there's things you can do out there
to rewire your brain as to such and such, you know. Mainly getting in the Word and getting around people who are positive and who are saved. And anybody who's always in the negative, you gotta get away from them. That's about it, people. If you listen to me long enough, you know that victory's in Jesus alone. And you're going to, he that began a good, listen, he that began a good work in you will finish it, period. Do you believe that or not? If you believe it, stand on it day by day.